Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Sublime Soul Surrender. I am Cosmos MD, your host, here again to introduce you to another exciting guest, somebody who I have not met yet in person. Like a lot of my guests, actually, if you go back and listen to all of them, I haven't met a whole lot of my guests in person. I guess being in the pandemic world has made me make more friendships online than in person. But I feel like with several of my guests that I've known Rabbi Sharina for a while, that we have met in person, and I look forward to the day when we actually can. So I am introducing all of you to Rabbi Sharina. Hello, Rabbi Sharina.
Hi, it's so good to be here.
Thank you for being here. Welcome to Sublime Soul Surrender. I'm so excited to introduce you. I think you should do the introduction. It would be so much more powerful if everybody could hear a little bit about who you are. We are going to be talking about something that's, I think, really juicy and really special and intimate and of so much interest for every human that's listening. But I would like you to first introduce yourself.
Okay, absolutely. Well, I am Rabbi Sharina. I'm a wellness expert, and I created a beautiful work called Hot Pink Torah. And this is all about nourishing body and spirit through ancient wisdom and modern rituals. And specifically, we teach spirituality and sensuality together. I like to think of it as sensuality as a spiritual practice. And it's about awakening a sense of deep inner trust, body love, and body confidence, and also increasing our capacity for appreciation of joy and beauty in our daily lives.
I love the way you described the beauty of the blending of ancient wisdom with modern rituals. That's really lovely to hear. I'm somebody who loves ritual. It's really important to me to have rituals in my day. And when I look back, I've had rituals in my entire life. I don't know if it's so necessarily attached to being Indian as much as it is just to being the kind of person I am. But I will say in the Indian lives that we live, rituals are very much a part of our everyday life. Mm-hmm. And if you look back in time, I think all humans have lived with ritual. We just don't realize it. Like the way people wake up in the morning, which side of the bed they sleep on. Do they brush their teeth first? Do they say good morning to somebody before they start their day? The way you get out of the house, the walk maybe that you take to get to whatever public transportation you use, or the direction that you go in a car, all of that is ritual. It's taking that time. I love the idea that you're putting out there, taking the time to recognize it, honor it, and blending it with the deliciousness of sensuality.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And it's truly, we are participating in ritual on a regular basis every day, but most of us do it unconsciously. And so to actually ritualize something is about putting consciousness toward an activity that seems mundane or ordinary, and it transforms it into something extraordinary. And that's the real gift. That's where the juiciness of life lives.
Oh my God, yes. So yesterday was a new moon.
Yes.
And are you a new moon ritual person?
I am. I am.
Because I am too. Tell everybody, what did you do yesterday? And I'll tell you everybody.
Okay, well, the new moon, actually, it's interesting because in Jewish tradition, we celebrate the new moon in a slightly different way. So yesterday was the technical new moon that most people celebrate, and it's when there is no visible moon. It is just black. Now, in Jewish tradition, we celebrate the start of a new month when you can witness the sliver of the moon. Because it's about announcing the moon, announcing the new month. So you have to be able to see it in order to announce it. And so it's funny, I get to celebrate two new moons. Because it's just back to back. And so today is actually the Jewish new moon. It's the new month of Av, and it is a wonderful time to set an intention, to really slow down and do more self-care. So one of the things I like to do is a bit of a spa experience at home, whatever that could be, maybe a facial, a little extra time moisturizing with some lotion. And also there is a tradition that, at least in ancient Jewish wisdom, that we really take time during that new moon to appreciate nature, to appreciate our bodies, and to really allow ourselves to kind of ground into that newness, that start, and really set in motion what we desire, which I think is also very traditional for a lot of cultures and people who celebrate the new moon.
Yeah, so this is funny. I have been a lover of the moon forever, but I did not remember that in India, all of our traditions are lunar. I totally forgot that we have a lunar calendar, that is, this country is constantly recognizing the moon, the beginning and the ending of the moon phases throughout the month. So when I started doing moon rituals, which was here in the United States, as like this witch persona was coming out, my mom was laughing and saying, this is the stuff that we've been doing forever in India that you like poo-pooed. Didn't even want to think about taking on. And now I'm a total believer in the energy of the moon, of our cosmic world, which is why I called myself Cosmos. So yeah. I do believe very strongly in the power of the energetic force of all of our planets. And yes, there's something very special with the moon. On the new moon, what I do, it's very similar for me in both the new moon and the full moon. However, I'll use the new moon as a time to write intention, and the full moon is the time to release and get rid of the things that you don't want to hold on to. And I think for me, the power of the full moon is much stronger. The concept of writing something out and then burning it and feeling that energy dissipate and change has been persistent. So the full moon experience just lights me up. And also my little nephew is like a pyromaniac and he loves to make the things blow in flames in all different ways. So it's always it's a fun family experience. The new moon is the quieter one. What I like about the new moon is using the word intention twice, the intentionality of writing down something that I want to call in. And the magic is it's mindfulness working with speed. It's the idea of really thinking about and feeling into your body what is important to you, what you want to actually invite in. And when you just blend that in with the energy of the moon, there is magic that happens.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the things that I really love is that, you know, when we're talking about sensuality as a spiritual practice, we're taking two things that don't seem to belong, and yet they do. We're accessing the energy of both, you know, that type of thing. And with the moon, it may seem far away. It may seem to have nothing to do with our daily lives, but it does. I mean, there's an energetic pull there. I mean, our oceans move with the moon.
And
it is not separate. And so much of the richness of living happens when we stop separating and we actually find the ways that things are intimately connected already. And that's
absolutely
what the moon is.
The period is called the moon.
Yeah.
People say, I've got my moon today. And when you're together as a group of bleeding people, your period will actually change. And you'll all end up having a period at the same time.
Yes.
Yeah, there's so much unknown, which is why I love as a rabbi that you do all of this, because you're bringing in the mystery of the unknown that's got doctrine behind it, bringing it then into the known, which is the human body and what it does. And then again, the unknown, which is all of the unseen feelings, the eroticism, the passion, the excitement, I think the gift of being a human, to be able to experience pleasure of so many ways and bringing that into the existing doctrine. I love that you do that. Could you talk a little bit about how that came to be? I know the story, but people don't.
Oh, all right. Well, so hopping Torah and this whole concept of sensuality and spirituality coming together. It really came forth because I noticed something. I noticed that I was studying constantly in rabbinical school. I was becoming a rabbi, and I was hunched over these books, these old leather books filled with Aramaic and Hebrew. And I was trying to understand this ancient tradition that is thousands of years old. And my back hurt. I mean, I was just in this state where hunching over these books was not going to work for me. And I was reading all this ancient commentary, and some of it was interesting, but much of it seemed very irrelevant to me and very heady. And it seemed to be very separate from the things that I loved, which were going salsa dancing and finding that perfect ripe tomato at the farmer's market. Those were times I felt spiritually connected. And I wanted to find out what the wisdom was in my own heritage that would enable me to feel radiant and joyful and really connected to what I loved, as well as what had been passed down from generation to generation. So that was really how this all came to be. And as someone who loves being in my body, who has danced since I was, before I was even born, I've always had a connection where when I'm moving, I feel alive. I feel the vitality of the divine energy inside my body, and it gets to express in the world. That to me is the ultimate. So I wanted to really hone in on the ancient wisdom that would enable more people like myself to feel expressed and to feel like, you know, this ancient wisdom makes me feel like it's more of me is coming out instead of trying to fit into something that someone else thought we should be in.
Yes, yeah. So much. So tell me a little bit more about that part, the last part. What types of things have you brought in that weren't brought out in what your studies?
So it's interesting because I was actually talking to an Orthodox male rabbi very recently, telling him about Hopping Torah, some of the practices and, you know, some of the wisdom that I teach. And I'm telling him this with a little apprehension because I'm thinking, oh no, he's just going to say, this is so wrong, so bad, this is awful. How could I be destroying, you know, this ancient tradition? And he really startled me by what he said. He said, you know, I'm a very traditional type of guy. So what you're doing doesn't really work for me. It's not something I'm going to study or practice. But I have to tell you something. If I'm being honest, what you're doing is incredibly traditional. And I was sort of shocked. I'm like, what do you mean this is traditional? But he was actually right. Because one of the beautiful things about Jewish tradition and how it has evolved over thousands of years is that it is constantly changing. It is constantly adapting to the needs of the community in the present time. And so, you know, what I may be doing may not quite be the way that people have always practiced, but the wisdom that I'm deriving all of this from is thousands of years old. And the practices, as we were talking about before, they are modern in many ways, but they connect seamlessly with ancient practices too. So there's really, I sometimes like to think I'm being novel, but really much of the reason it is novel is because it's been hidden or it hasn't been talked about in this way. Right. Not that it's not traditional and so, you know, crazy out there. And I find that really fascinating in terms of when you are connecting with something ancient, sometimes it's actually very relevant and modern if you just put it in a slightly different perspective.
Which makes me, there's so many things that you said right now that I want to reflect back on. First, I want to say this is all so amazing. I love that you had a conversation with somebody who was a conservative male rabbi. Congratulations on doing that, showing up, describing what you do, knowing that you could receive something that would feel really uncomfortable. Yes. Love that you did that. Totally, like, oh my God, huge hurrah on that. I also love that what you received back was not that. What you received back was somebody who listened, who was honest, who said, this is not my cup of tea, but then also reflected back that it's traditional. And then I'm amused at the lack of human evolution, that after thousands of years, our needs are the same, which is kind of humorous, right? I think that may just be the makeup of humankind. And God knows many millennia need to go by before we need something different. But I would like to ask a question.
Yes.
I'm curious, and I know our audience members are curious. Can you give a taste of something that you would do as a practice from the ancient tradition to now that isn't going to make you feel uncomfortable to do and won't release any mystery or secrets, but if we could have some idea of what it is that you're describing?
Okay, absolutely. I need to preface something first, though, just so you understand where I'm coming from. I just want to have a little bit of a working definition for sensuality and spirituality so that we are all on the same page here.
Beautiful.
So spirituality, when I'm talking about that, is really about connecting with the divine. And you can have a million and one names for the divine, but that's really what we're talking about. Sensuality is, for me, about embodiment, specifically the senses and sensation. So one of the things is that oftentimes one of the challenges that I see, or a sort of misconception, is that, well, in order to be spiritual, it's the head, the heart, and the lungs up, right? And I know you understand that it's much different than that, but many people don't quite realize this.
Well, that's why we do it, right?
Exactly. And so the problem is then that the body, the rest of the body, gets objectified. It gets vilified. There's fear around it because it's separate from this spiritual divine container. And in ancient Jewish wisdom and Jewish tradition generally, the body and spirit are connected. They are intimately connected in partnership. And so instead of a question like, oh, well, I have a body, can I still be spiritual? Or how could I be spiritual if I have a body? It's, I have a body. Great. Now I have the capacity to have a beautiful spiritual life as a human being.
Right.
And that is the key, that when people start to realize, oh, right, these two things are connected, then you can really start to learn the language of each aspect and work together. So all of the practices that I do are based on this idea. Okay, so that's why I wanted to make sure that was out there.
For describing that, for putting so much beautiful phrases to it so people can really resonate with that. It was very well described.
Good.
Well done.
So actually, let's see here. What practice? Oh, there's so many. So I have to say, you know, the most beautiful expression of ancient wisdom and modern ritual is actually, for me, the observance of Shabbat. It's actually learning about this one day a week where we rest and we rejuvenate. And all of the practices that have been passed down from generation to generation have often gotten more strict and stringent depending on the community. So the way Shabbat is practiced will vary depending on who you're talking to and what community you're in. That's the one thing about Judaism. It is diversity embodied. It is very much a diversity. But the way I approach it is not from, well, you should be doing this, and why aren't you doing that, and, you know, that type of thing. But more, what is the ancient wisdom within this idea of Shabbat, and how could we enable ourselves to experience it no matter how we live our lives? Like, how could it be included as an enrichment to our life, no matter who you are? So for me, I go, okay, Shabbat, what is the essence of it? So the way that it's practiced is through engaging your senses. engaging your body and consciously connecting to the divine energy underneath it all. So it's conscious action, conscious sensuality. And that is where we can take that, you know, it might be if you're traditionally celebrating Shabbat, you're lighting candles. You're striking the match. It can be when you are eating certain foods and drinking grape juice or wine and singing and taking a nice hot shower and putting on your finery and a special necklace that was passed down from generation to generation. There are so many ways. Shabbat is also a time for making love, for couples to be intimate. And that is a mirroring of a Kabbalistic idea, which is Jewish mysticism, of what is happening in the cosmos. That there is a coming together and a lovemaking of the divine with the divine itself. So all of this is sensual. All of this is activating our senses and our bodies, but it's done with intentionality and with curiosity and appreciation. And that's where each action that could have just been a random thing becomes so special and precious.
Oh my God, I want to have Shabbat every day.
Well, you know, one of the things that I do teach is actually about having a mini Shabbat experience. Because this is, you know, it's once a week, which is great. We need that full day, but we also need it more often.
Every day. Yeah.
Every day.
The description of lighting the match, that did it for me, because I love that smell of that spark. And when I use a lighter, it doesn't do the same thing. It also makes me feel, when I'm using a lighter, that, I don't know, it doesn't, I feel like I'm doing something wrong, but that's separate. Then the idea of lighting a match is that sound and the spark and the smell, just that. But then you described so many more things, and of course the sex. Wow, I can imagine Shabbat sex. Does anybody call it Shabbat sex?
You know what, not exactly. I've not heard that term.
I think you should call it Shabbat sex. That's my idea.
You know, whatever floats your boat. That is the thing with names. We all can have our own name for something that lights us up. That's what it's about.
I just like the anticipation of that experience. It feels like, from what you were describing, the buildup of that day, the whole process of you going through your day and experiencing the mindfulness of eating, the mindfulness of your space, how you're feeling, how you're thinking, and maybe in your head is, I'm going to have some fun tonight, and you're building up. Oh my God, that could be the best orgasm ever.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
The whole day trying to do that, even though you're not waiting for that as much as you may be being in the moment, right? Let's stick with the idea of staying in the moment. But the lack of distraction is what happens on Shabbat. For those people that are not Jewish, may not know, it would be helpful if you told them what Shabbat is.
Yes, absolutely. So it is based on the days of creation in the Genesis story in the Torah, the five books of Moses. And the seventh day of creation is when God stops creating and rests. Creation is done. Now it's time to appreciate and celebrate it and enjoy it. And humans have taken on that responsibility of, after 6 days, we do the same. We emulate God. And so it is a time when we turn off our cell phones traditionally. We do not go out and buy things and spend money. And people do this, as I said before. The way people practice Judaism is diverse. So not everyone does that, but it's a time of separation. So it's a time of going, how can I make this different? How can I take the yickiness of the week and just let go and really be present and do things that inspire me, that give me pleasure, that allow me to rejuvenate, so that I am ready to face that new week in a really revitalized way.
And I love that your description could resonate with people all over the world that can look at it for themselves in any existence of religion or faith that they may or may not have, and look at it as a human experience. That the welcoming is, can I put that phone away? Can I? It's a reason why a friend of mine was telling me yesterday they're going to go to Maine and be in a part of Maine where there is no connection to any other form of life other than human in front of you. And that's what they're building up to. So that's like their Shabbat for a week.
Yes.
And it could be anything. It could be taking out the phone after this podcast, turning it off, and dancing or masturbating or just meditating, going for a walk.
Yeah, and it can look different for everyone. It's really about that taking that moment and noticing, what does my body need? What do I need? What will be rejuvenating for me? And making that a priority in our day, because no one outside of us is going to prioritize that for us. You know, work is going to say work harder. And, you know, people are going to want your energy and time. So it's up to us to go, okay, what do I need? So I can show up refueled. So I have energy to be with the people I love, do the work that I love. It's really self-appreciation. It's making sure that you are available to be there for others. It's not selfish at all. It's actually very helpful for everyone in the world.
Being selfish is a really important thing. And I think we've shamed the word selfish, and I'd like to reclaim that.
I would love that.
Right? If we don't take care of ourselves, nobody else will. There's nothing wrong in being selfish, as long as you're not being unkind to another person. You're being good to you. Right? Like the simple act of taking a bath or taking a shower.
Yeah.
It could be filled. It is filled with sensation. If we would allow ourselves more than a second to be in that shower, give yourselves a few minutes more and really smell that soap and really feel the body as the suds are coming over it. Maybe even listen to the shower, like rain falling all over your body.
Yeah.
And allowing yourself to take just beautiful pleasure in that moment. It doesn't have to be complicated.
You know, I really appreciate you saying that and reclaiming the word selfish. And, you know, I know so many people who have a negative connotation with that word. And so I've started to say, be self-full, meaning that you are full of yourself, and not in the like full of yourself, you know, type of insult. So I guess, you know, the baseline is words can be used against us. They can be used to shame us, and we need to reclaim them.
That's right.
But the idea of being full of yourself, meaning that aspect of divinity in you is animated and active. It is full. It is expanding through your body. That's an amazing way to go through life.
I would love to know, for you as a living being, what are your practices that are important to you on a daily basis to stay connected with your spirituality and your sensuality?
Ah, all right. Well, I have to say one of the main ones is obviously dancing. So I take many breaks during the day. I turn on a song and I let my body lead me in movement. If I'm having a hard day, I allow the emotions to come through my body. If I'm feeling celebratory, I allow that to come through my body. And so taking that time, because we really spend so much of our day sitting and, you know, typing at a computer, it is so important to get up and move. So that I would say is my primary way. And that's because movement and the body is really one of the keys for me to connect with divinity. It's just one of the ways. Now, I have to tell you the other way, which is one of my great passions in life, which is cooking.
Yummy. Tell us.
I know. And I know you are a fan of cooking as well. So
and salsa and dancing and everything.
And salsa. I love it. I love it. So basically, for me, you know, from the beginning of conceiving of an idea of what I want to cook, to going to the market, to getting the food, to chopping it up, to smelling it, all my senses are engaged. And the best part, and why I love it more than most other modalities, is that I get to eat it afterward and share it with people I love. And that sense of feeling nourished from the inside out from food, it is just such a blessing to me to be a part of that. And so it is really one of my core daily practices to get into the sensuality of life and feel that spiritual connection of, wow, I'm alive. I get to do this.
What did you make this morning?
Oh, I made, I've been making whole oats. So you actually take the oat itself and I cook it up like oatmeal, and I add lots of different fruits, dried and fresh, a sprinkle of cinnamon because cinnamon makes everything better in my opinion, and a little bit of grated ginger, because that heat and spice, it wakes up, it tantalizes the taste buds is really what it does. And that will satisfy me all the way till lunch. So it makes me
very what's for
good.
Lunch?
I don't know yet.
You're like me. You just open up the fridge and you take stuff out and you start cooking.
That's I let it funny. Be inspiration.
We're going to have to cook together one day, my friend, with salsa dancing in between.
Yes, yes. And I do want to say, though, for people who are listening to this going, oh my goodness, I don't like cooking. Basically, my practice is taking something like a frozen dinner out of the freezer and putting it in the oven. That's my way of eating. I just want to say, you don't have to be a gourmet chef making everything from scratch to still be in your senses and have sensuality. Everything, like I was talking to someone the other day who was, I think, feeling kind of bad about herself because she was like, I don't really like cooking and I don't really like doing this. So I just take a frozen dinner out and I put it in the oven. And she's like, so I can't have it be a spiritual experience. I just can't connect. And I went, hold on. Mm-hmm. Let's back up a little bit. Wait a second. So how do you get to the freezer in the first place? Like, are you walking quickly? Can you feel the ground underneath you? Are you dancing your way to that freezer? And then you're touching the freezer. Is it cold? Is it smooth? Is it hot? You know, you would hope it's not hot. Otherwise, we have bigger problems, right? And then you hear that suction of, oh, and that cold blast of air. Well, if it's hot outside, thank goodness that cold blast of air came out. And if it's cold, you might just grab your food and slam the door. Like, all of these are opportunities to play with your senses and your sense of being present to the gift of being alive and engaging in your body. So it's really important to realize that any activity that we do is an invitation for sensuality to be a spiritual practice.
Oh, I love that. Thank you so much for saying that. And I hope all of our listeners are thinking about ways in their daily life that they can make every experience feel sensual. And you notice in your body, then it starts to feel more alive, more awake, less robotic.
Yes.
I have to describe this, and I'm going to want to ask you to close with a little description of how people can get in touch with you. But I want to describe how important these things can be. So I just opened a new practice for myself at a new site, right? And one of the best things about it is I have this window that looks at trees, and we're at the fourth floor. So I see all the leaves and huge window. I can't begin to tell you how beautiful that is when for the last 6 years I've been in the basement where I haven't even seen what the world looks like. It could be morning, raining, snowing. I would have no idea. That experience, just to see that window, makes me feel so excited. And I was so inspired to decorate this room that room feels so much more beautiful than even my home does, where I want to be there. The colors, the crystals, the smells, the plant, the books, all different types of sensations that I can touch and I can feel, lotions. And it just, it's magical. And you walk into that room and you feel it. Why am I saying this? Because I think making your everyday space feel like an invitation and a draw, like a magnet. You described the fridge, right? as if it was a hot day and you're opening up that freezer and you want that, your room, your space, your cubicle, wherever it is that you spend time, to create that invitation for yourself too. So you want to be there rather than, oh, I can't wait to get out of here. Because then it really destroys your mood.
Yes.
And how happy it has made me that I can't wait to get to work on Monday so I can see my beautiful room.
Oh, I love that. I am so happy you shared that. I can visualize it. I haven't been there, but I can visualize the room, because when you talk about these different senses being activated, it creates a picture. I mean, it's storytelling. It creates this image, and I feel like I'm there with you. And that's just such an amazing gift. What a beautiful space.
Oh, thank you. Oh my God. It really is. I know that people listening are going to be so interested and curious to learn more about you. You have this beautiful ability to bring people with you on a journey, and you already described so many ways that Judaism is diverse. Thank you for naming that, for saying that. Love the description of traditions and describing them in a modern way, and then being able to make this practical for those who are not necessarily Jewish in their tradition or even in their faith, but recognize that, wait, this can be me. It doesn't have to be tied to a religion. Thank you for all of that. So helpful. How can people find you? How can people get in touch with you?
Oh, thank you so much. So you can find me at hotpinktorah.com. And you can sign up to learn. I have a workshop coming up in September that is about the Jewish New Year. You can be of any background to participate. We will be talking about sweetness and sweetening the new year. It's going to be beautiful with some embodied practices. So if you go to hotpinktorah.com, you can sign up to receive information. You can also, there's a contact form if you want to do some private one-on-one work with me. I do work with people who want to explore their sensuality and spirituality more deeply. So that really is the best way to get in contact. The website, I will just give a little disclaimer. It is under construction. So it is very basic right now, but hopefully in a month or so, it should be looking absolutely stunning. So bear with me until then.
Well, all of us are all under construction. So I love it.
Yes. Oh, wonderful.
I am super excited for your workshop. And I'm so happy that you were able to be here with us. Rabbi Shrina, thank you so much for the time, the energy, the love that you've put out here for our entire audience to be a part of. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Cosmo, so much. It's such a pleasure to be here.
And to all of our beautiful audience members, listeners all over the world, wherever you may be, I hope you have a beautiful morning, afternoon, evening, night. And I'm so glad that you joined us and that you were here with us to listen to the beautiful voice of Rabbi Shrina. And we look forward to having you all back again next week. I'm sending you all lots of love, and Rabbi Shrina sending you a big hug.
Oh, and right back to you and to all of you listening. Bye.
Bye, everyone.